As we continue our series on Kindle the Fire, let us recognize the theme verse that is taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 49, that Christ Jesus told, "I came to cast fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." May the Lord speak to us through his living word. Maybe we have come from different mindsets. We have come from with different situations that are happening in our life. But let me tell you, the presence of the Lord, the gathering of God's people, makes a difference in our lives. Don't think that you have come because of somebody who has forced you to come. God had a purpose in bringing you here today. And may the Lord fulfill that purpose in your life. That is what is very important in our lives more than anything else. So may I have your undivided attention to the listening of the word of God. As the psalmist says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word. That is a prayer for that matter. Even though we may not close our eyes and pray unto God, sometimes these psalms talk about, save me, O Lord, as we were meditating during the worship time. Or, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your word. That should be our prayer. May the Lord open our eyes as we continue our series on Kindle the Fire. The sermon notes are being passed on to you along with the pencil as well. Take it, use it, and let us focus our attention on the Word of God. Word of God transforms, not man's word. Only God's word has a power of transformation in our lives. So may the Lord speak to us through his word, which is like fire. One of the sermons in this sermon series was God's word like fire. If you haven't heard it, please listen to this as well as we keep putting it on the website as well. That it is very important for us to recognize that is not my word like fire is what God said. His word is like fire. He speaks to us through his living word. Let us read today's key verse from Acts chapter 28 and verse 2. You can note it down. The book that we are referring from is from Acts chapter 28 and verse 2. Shall we all read this together, please? All of us. As it is projected here, Acts 28, verse 2. Let's all read this. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. The title of this today's sermon is Fellowship Fire. Father, gracious God, open our eyes that we may learn wonderful things from your word. Not my words, but let your words come through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is it called fellowship fire? There are many things that we have been learning about. Love like fire. Holy Spirit of God like fire. And even the gift of God to fan the flame that we meditated last week as well. What is this specific aspect about this particular chapter from Acts chapter 28 where we are titling the sermon as fellowship fire? Fellowship fire. There is one word that each one of us should be able to understand. The original Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia, it is there in your sermon notes. Koinonia, what does koinonia mean? Koinonia, the word that is used primarily in the scriptures, it means fellowship or association, community, communion, joint participation. That is the meaning of the word koinonia in Greek. Always it's good to understand or look into the original words that are used in the scriptures. The word that is translated most of the time in the scriptures for koinonia is fellowship. But there are other places where it uses the word communion as well. And what is this? Joint participation together to be able to work things out. Association, community, communion, or in other words, fellowship. Today we are going to look at this important element of fellowship. Let us read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The four pillars or the four anchors that are mentioned in the scriptures, primarily taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the New Testament pillars that are essential elements of a New Testament church. It says in verse 42, let's all read this together, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 all together, please. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were devoting themselves. The devotion that they were showing forth was for the four elements that are essential for a New Testament church: apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. The word fellowship. The fellowship is two-way, like a cross. You know the cross of Jesus Christ, how it is shown? A vertical cross and a vertical line and a horizontal line makes up a cross. Which is longer? The vertical one is longer. That means that has the highest priority. The vertical one is longer, meaning the vertical relationship that is essential for us to understand the fellowship. Without a relationship, there is no fellowship. Unless we are members of the body of Christ, we cannot call ourselves as fellowship. Unless you are members of a particular organization, you cannot be called a fellow member. The relationship that is established with God is what is the starting point for our fellowship. Relationship is the first step, but fellowship is the close association with each other. A person that is born into the family causes a relationship to happen between a parent and a child. But unless and until the child spends time with the parent, there is no fellowship. Relationship may be there, but if the child is somewhere else, there is no fellowship between each other. So the fellowship is both vertical and horizontal. The fellowship that we are talking about, let us see some of the scriptural portions. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Please read.
What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Our fellowship is with the Father. Who is this Father? God the Father. Our fellowship is with the Father. Do you have fellowship with God the Father? And also here he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Sahavasamu, it says in Telugu. I don't know what it says in any other language that you follow. But the point is that the fellowship, to be able to be having that close association or community or communion, the word communion that we call for the table that is set before us, the word is koinonia, means fellowship. And here, the fellowship with God. Fellowship with God the Father. Saying, God, you are my Father. To have relationship with Him as a Father. Do you have the relationship to be able to call Father? Anybody cannot come to me and say, Father, Daddy. No. Unless and until I have that strong relationship of being born into my family or adopted into my family, I cannot expect the person to come and call me as Father or a Dad. Similarly, do you have a relationship with the Father as a Son? To those whom He had received and believed Him, to them gave He the power to be called the children of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. So not only having the relationship with the Father, but also fellowship with the Father. You know the story about the prodigal son. He was a son of a father, but he went away. He had the relationship of being a son to the Father, but he went away. He lost fellowship with the Father. And he realized, so much so, that he wanted to come back and have fellowship with the Father. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. And fellowship with the Son, God the Son, and God the Son, Jesus Christ. We need to have fellowship with each other to be able to have constant relationship and fellowship. As Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be able to have constant communion. Thank you. He is interceding on our behalf. He is there with us, and to be able to recognize that. Not only fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, let us also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Please read. This is the last verse in the 2 Corinthians. And we use this as a benediction. Whenever we are done with our Sunday worship service, most of the time, not necessarily every time, but this is one of the benediction verses. Please read 2 Corinthians 13, 14.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And if you have King James Version, it might use the word communion. Communion of the Holy Ghost. Fellowship and communion are interchangeably used because the original word is koinonia. It can be called a communion, means to be able to have communication, to be able to stay with each other and participate with each other. That is how, here he says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 1:3 it says, fellowship with the God the Father, fellowship with God the Son. Here in 2 Corinthians 13:14 it says, fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. Back to 1 John 1:7. Very familiar verse. Sometimes we by heart it, we memorize it. It's a song also, it talks about if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Memorize these kind of verses, my dear. It really helps. If your children in your Sunday, in their Sunday school, if they have a memory verse, memorize with them, parents. You memorize with them so much so that the children also memorize it, and the next Sunday they come with more confidence because at home you have memorized together with your children. 1 John 1:7, very important. If we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. As we have fellowship with God in his light, in the light of his word, as we keep fellowship with God, and you also keep fellowshipping with God, she keeps fellowshipping with God, we all have fellowship with one another. So fellowship with God, fellowship with people. Both are essential, vertical and horizontal. That is where the cross relationship is. Do you have the fellowship with God? Many people say, oh, I have fellowship with God, I don't care about people. And today, I want to challenge you, my dear brother and sister. Maybe you've been having such a thought process. Maybe some hard things have happened in your life that you want to stop fellowshipping with people altogether. But you say, oh, I have fellowship with God. It's like drawing a line and say, this is a cross. No, I need to have a horizontal relationship as well, as much as I have a vertical relationship with God. Fellowship in one another. That is why in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says four elements. Now look at it from that perspective. What does it say in Acts chapter 2 verse 42? Four things. What does it start with? Apostles' doctrine. Teaching. Or in other words, word of God. Word of God on one side. And then the last one, what does it say? Prayer. Or prayers, it says in some of the translations. Prayers. I like the way it's translated as prayers, because there are various kinds of prayers, which includes praising God, worshiping God as well, anything that is upward. Word of God is downward, meaning God giving us his word, and the prayers, worship and praise going up. So now, word and prayer on either side. What is there in between? Fellowship. Fellowship in between. What are those two? Fellowship and breaking of bread. What do you call the breaking of bread as? Communion. Fellowship with God. And fellowship, the other word that is used is fellowship with people. As you can have fellowship with God and fellowship with people, don't forget these two elements of word and prayer. This is not a social organization talking about the secular things all the while. No. The focus is on the word of God. The focus is on the prayer. As you keep fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with people, it is keeping in mind the word and worship, or word and prayer. Do you have focus on the word and prayer with fellowship in between? And that is how we should have it. And may the Lord guide us as we understand some important elements of the fellowship fire today. In the book of Acts chapter 28, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 28. By the way, that is the last chapter of the book of Acts. That is the last days, I don't know if it is days or months, of the life of Apostle Paul. If you see the map here, this is Paul's journey to Rome. He had three missionary journeys, and he had another journey where he did not return to Jerusalem. In all the missionary journeys, he goes, has a loop, like a circuit. He goes first time, comes back. He goes second time, comes back. He goes third time, comes back. And the fourth time, it's actually last journey. That is why it's just called Paul's journey. It's not called a missionary journey where he was coming back and reporting what has happened. And in this particular journey, he started from near Jerusalem, and he goes all the while. As he keeps going all the while, he travels a lot through Mediterranean Sea. As he keeps Mediterranean Sea, there is one place, I don't know if you can see it clearly, and that place, the small island, a green color island, it's called Malta, or in Melita. In King James Version, it uses the word Melita. In other translations, it uses the word Malta. And here it says shipwreck. Something has happened there. If you read Acts chapter 27 and Acts chapter 28, on his journey to Rome, where he finally dies there, on his way towards the end of his life, there were certain tough times that he had to go through. In Acts chapter 27, it talks about the shipwreck experience. On the way, as he was traveling through the Mediterranean Sea, suddenly there was a shipwreck. But none of them died. 276 people in verse 37, it says. They all were encouraged through what Paul was encouraging. In verse 33, it says, Paul was encouraging them. Very important. In a fellowship, it is like a ship where you're all on the same board. People say, looks like we are sailing on the same boat, people say, right? Or we are sailing in the same ship. And what is that ship? Fellowship. And that ship goes through tough times as well. That ship goes through shipwreck experience as well. And that ship went through so much of tough times that finally they landed safely. They landed safely. My dear, when we go through tough times in our lives, tough situations, shipwreck, what did they do? They had to go through all these situations. And finally, we notice in verse 44, it happened that they all were brought safely to land. What a wondrous thing it is. My dad used to say, when somebody is traveling in the bus or airbus or airplane, if there is for one believer in Lord Jesus Christ, if God wants to save that one person, for that one person's sake, the whole vehicle is kept safe. Is it not true? It's so wonderful to be able to see that for this particular Apostle Paul's life and testimony and how he was encouraging people, all the 276 people were brought safely to land. Acts chapter 27, verse 44. What a wonderful experience it is. For one person's sake, God can save the whole ship. Shipload of people. And here now in verse chapter 28 and verse 1, let us read this. When they had been brought safely through, God brings us safely through tough times in our lives. Maybe you are going through some tough time in your life. Maybe something you can share, something you cannot share. Maybe some kind of a difficulty that you are going through, shipwreck experience. May I share with you? You need fellowship. When you have fellowship, even the shipwreck experience will bring you safely to the place where you need to. All of them were brought safely. I like the word all. All were brought safely to land. Because of your faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the encouragement you get by people like Apostle Paul and other people there. While they were in the ship, they were struggling. But God let them come out of all the situation. And that fellowship continues. Even if you are not in the ship, you are still there together. And that is where we pick up in verse 1. We found out that the island was called Malta. And the word Malta or Melita means honey. Wow. Honey, or in other words, sweet. Let me tell you, fellowship is very sweet. Sweetness of fellowship. It is so sweet to have fellowship with our dear ones. May I tell you, maybe you are such a kind of person who is a loner. Loner meaning L-O-N-E-R. Always I want to be myself. I don't care about people. I don't worry about people. I want to be by myself. I don't want to associate with people because they speak like that. They talk like that. You always go through so much that you are not able to experience the sweetness of fellowship. Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. Verse 13 and 14. If you have New American Standard, please read.
But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had the sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng.
It uses some other words in different translations, but I picked up from New American Standard where it says, we who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God. Yes. Sweetness of fellowship. May I tell you, fellowship is sweet. It is sweet. Malta experience. The island of Malta or Melita experience is a sweet fellowship experience in spite of the shipwreck experience. Let's go back to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And what we can learn from this fellowship fire is, let's read in verse 2, the many truths that we can learn. Let's start with the first one, where it says, The natives, verse 2, the natives showed us extraordinary kindness. Please read in any other language that you have, verse 2. 28:2. Any other language? Yes. Any other? Any other? Extraordinary kindness, unusual kindness. If you have King James Version, it says, no little kindness. No little kindness. Here, we notice that the people over there, there are many lessons that we can learn about fellowship. And the first thing that we can learn, if you want to write it down, is charity. Charity. The word that is used here, the original word that is used for extraordinary kindness in the Greek language, is philanthropos. Philanthropos. Oh, philanthropy. A lot of people love this philanthropy. They say, this man is a philanthropist. What is philanthropy? Do you know what a philanthropy is? Phila, anthropos. Phila means love or kindness. Anthropos means human beings. Love towards human beings. The basic thing that we should have in terms of fellowshipping with each other is to have charity. Sometimes the word charity is also translated as love in some of the translations that we have. Charity or loving kindness or unusual kindness that is essential for us to be able to have. God showed that love towards us. Did you know that? God showed this loving kindness towards us. Just like these people, the native people showed extraordinary kindness, not spoke. It's easy to speak about kindness. It is easy to be able to share sermons about kindness or extraordinary kindness. The most important part is to show it. Show. Does it say in your language, in your Bible, does it say showed? Yes. We should show kindness. So charity or loving kindness, love and kindness are essential. And before even we want to do it to each other, we need to know that God showed us the same philanthropos. The same word, Greek word philanthropos, is used in another place in the New Testament in the book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. Please read. Titus 3, 4.
But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared.
His love for mankind. That word, a small phrase, love for mankind, in Greek, it says philanthropos. That is what the Greek Bible says. Philanthropos. If God could have philanthropy towards you, how much more should you have philanthropy to each other? God, out of His kindness and love for mankind, He appeared. Because of His love towards each other, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. If God has loved us so much that He appeared as human being into this world to show forth how to love each other. Philanthropy is important, yes. I'm not saying that you should become a philanthropist just like a secular philanthropist is. No. Out of the way in which God loved us, we should show that same charity or philanthropy to each other. Do you have that, my dear? Do you have that brotherly kindness towards each other? If not, maybe this is the time as part of fellowship. Fellowship fire. The first thing that we should understand is we need to show love. We need to show love towards each other. Love towards mankind. Philanthropy is essential. Love and kindness. Secondly, that we can learn is receptivity. They're all ending with ITY, if you have noticed. So for the first word is charity. And the second word is receptivity. That is also an English word, by the way, if you haven't, if you did not know. Receptivity has come from the word reception. People know reception as the only occasion after wedding. When you say reception, they say, yeah, after wedding, there is something, same day it will happen, sometimes after a few days. There is a word for reception, and that is welcoming. Warm welcome. Fellowship fire should cause warmth in order to be able to welcome one another. Sometimes some places they have reception place, reception desk. What does it mean? Here when we see in Acts chapter 28, the first thing we see here is they showed extraordinary kindness, back to Acts chapter 28 verse 2. And then they say here, for because of the rain and the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. If you have other translations, if you have ESV or some other translations, I think it uses the word welcomed us. Kindle a fire, produce warmth, and cause warm welcome. Have kindness towards one another as a fellowship. Have kindness towards one another. That's what it says. These people were showing extraordinary kindness. As you keep showing kindness for those people who came out of the shipwreck and where they were tossed around onto the island, a place where nobody else is there, they are feeling lonely. These people showed extreme kindness. And they kindled a fire because of coldness. Many times we go through cold experiences that we need to kindle a fire. The fire, which is fellowship fire. Kindle the fire so much that the moment you kindle the fire, you welcome people because there is warmth. Wherever there is warmth, there's so much of cold somewhere. If you have a fireplace at home, what do? Oh, it's so cold. You come and put your hand against the fireplace. Why? You want warmth. You are being welcomed to that place. Welcoming is very essential, my dear. Welcoming is essential. First of all, before you welcome people, you need to welcome God. That's what it says in John chapter 1 verse 12. For as many as received him, cherchukoniri, it says some of the translations, cherchukodam. What does it mean? Bringing people together. Fellowship means bringing people together. Received him, gave him power to become the children of God. Luke chapter 19, very quickly. Luke chapter 19 talks about a man. He was a short man for that matter. He wanted to see who Jesus was. So he climbed up on a sycamore tree. And he was trying to see who this Jesus was. And that man, his name is Zacchaeus. And when Jesus comes, what does Jesus say? In verse 5, Luke 19:5. And Jesus came to this place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. For today, I must stay at your house. I must stay at your house. Verse 6. And he hurried, came down, and welcomed him gladly. Or received him gladly. Jesus wants to come to your house. Can you have Jesus in your house? Oh, Jesus, wait. I cannot hurry. I need to fix some things in my house. Oh. Or are you ready to receive Jesus into your home? Jesus wants to stay in your house. I must stay in your house today. Hurry, come down. Maybe you have been rejecting Jesus out of your heart, out of your home, saying, oh, if Jesus comes into my house, he'll try to fix things which I don't want to. Is Jesus in your house? Have you received Jesus in your house? Before you receive other people into your house, receive Jesus in your house. Luke chapter 10, about Martha. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, and Jesus and his disciples were traveling along. He entered a village. I think it's Bethany because, you know, Martha and Mary. Martha welcomed him into her home. Receiving, one of the wonderful characteristics of fellowship is not only charity, but also receptivity, warm welcome. Come, Jesus, come into my home. And that is what Martha welcomed him into her home. Cherchukonuta, bringing somebody into your house. None other than Jesus Christ to start with. And Jesus also has received us into his fold. When we have asked him to forgive us of our sins, he received us and has made us his part and parcel of his family. And when he has received us so much, what should we do towards each other? Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Please read Romans chapter 15 and verse 7.
Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God.
NASB uses the word accept, and all other translations uses the word receive. Receive one another as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. You receive one another. Have you? When was the last time you received somebody into your house? You have to receive one another. Very important. Acts chapter 17 talks about the people of God. They were going through so much of situations in their lives. In verse 7 of Acts chapter 17, it says a man by name Jason, he welcomed them into his house and tried to protect them from all the difficulties that they were going through. Acts chapter 17 and verse 7. Are you such kind of person? In spite of the difficulties that are happening, to welcome somebody into your house. Paul the apostle talks to Philemon about Onesimus and saying that please receive him. Please receive him into your fold. And such kind of the things are essential to receive each one into your house. What a kind of reception do you have? When somebody tries to knock at the door, you say, oh, I don't want them to come to my house. Or are you receiving them to your house? Have the attitude of welcoming. Invite people to your home. Receive them. When was the last time? Oh, you don't want? Oh, I don't want them to come to my house. Oh, I have to take care of so many things. No. You sacrifice. Sometimes it requires sacrifice to be able to have fellowship. Receiving. Not only receiving in your house, but receiving in the church. Let us see that. Acts chapter 15 and verse 4. Please read. Acts chapter 15 and verse 4.
When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they were reported all that good that God had done with them.
And they reported all that God had done with them. We always quote this particular verse when we do ministry reports on the church anniversary Sunday. Verse 4, when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church. If you have English Standard Version, I think it uses the word welcomed by the church. They were received by the church and the apostles and elders. Do you receive people when they come to the church? Do you have a warm welcoming? Hello, how are you? It's good to see you. Maybe new people have come to the church. How do you respond to being able to receive them into the church? Receiving them to the church is very essential. Acts chapter 21 and verse 7 also, it says that they were received into the church. And my dear brothers and sisters, we need to be received into the church as well. New people are coming to the church. How do you show forth your reception? That is one way you can be able to show forth your fellowship towards one another. I don't know if you have heard about the word usher. As I was meditating on this word, the Lord reminded me of that particular word, usher. Usher word is not used in the Bible directly, but there is a meaning to that word. Usher. I'll just read it. A church usher is a person who helps ensure a smoothly running church service and who ministers to people in a variety of practical ways. Maybe God has called you for this. Listen to this. The specific responsibilities of an usher vary with the church, but his or her duties usually include greeting people as they arrive for the service, assisting people with special needs, and some churches provide a pin or a name tag of some kind to easily identify their ushers. Before the church service starts, the ushers will often have the responsibility to check the thermostat, check the restrooms, make sure the hymnals are placed correctly, prepare the bulletins for distribution. As the churchgoers arrive, the ushers will act as doorkeepers, greeting each person with a smile. Reception. Receptivity. With a smile, shaking hands and handing out bulletins. They are also available to answer visitors' questions and extend extra help in seating those who need the assistance. Often the ushers will escort people to the proper nursery or Sunday school classroom. During the church service, the ushers usually take part in some way. Ushers have a goal of minimizing distractions during the worship and sermon. Ushers stand ready to assist anyone in the congregation who might need help to aid latecomers in finding a seat and to inform those in the sanctuary of any urgent matters. Some churches appoint an usher to monitor the facility, including the parking lot, to prevent vandalism, theft, or other wrongdoing. Church ushers are well-versed in emergency procedures. In case of an emergency, the ushers will take the lead in getting people to safety in an orderly manner. After the service, ushers will again be at the door to greet the congregation as they leave and provide assistance as they need it. In many churches, the ushers will then make sure that the sanctuary is tidy, thermostat is adjusted, and the lights are shut off. Although the word usher is not mentioned in the Bible, ushers today provide an invaluable service to the local church body. And I feel the ones who are receiving people into the church, even though the word ushers is not used, that is a work of an usher. In many ways, the ushers are the face of the church. The first ones that people see when they arrive and the last ones that they see as they leave. It is important that an usher be friendly, honest, and willing to serve. It is an honorable position in the church requiring integrity, cordiality, and wisdom. The heart of an usher is the heart of a servant, and he does or she does work for the Lord Jesus. A church usher has a true love for the people of the church and a desire to promote an atmosphere of reverence and worship in the house of God. An usher's theme verse could well be Psalm 84 and verse 10. Psalm 84 and verse 10, it says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What a wonderful thing it is. Psalm chapter 84 and verse 10, I would rather be a doorkeeper. That is what we have been praying, my dear brothers and sisters. To be able to welcome people, even though they are known people in the church, they are coming regularly, still greet them and say, hello, good morning, how are you, please come in. Why are we doing that? Why do we want to do that? To show forth our welcoming spirit. Please come in. Please join us. This is a wonderful place for you to feel a very good atmosphere. If you have children who are unable to manage, the ushers will come and say, do you need some help? Do you want us to take you out? Not to be able to be strong and shouting at them. No. They should be loving people, cordial people, because they are the face of the church. Yes, my dear. Receptivity is very important. In the fellowship, ushers have a great role. If God has called you for it, maybe that is what God wants to use you for. It need not necessarily be that there is something great. It's better to be as a doorkeeper. We are ready to be there, standing there and welcoming people. Yes, that is the greatest thing and an honorable thing and a noble thing to do in the sight of God. And the next thing that we can learn, charity, receptivity, and then unity. Back to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. What does it say? They kindled a fire and received us all in verse 2. Let us all read verse 3. What does it say? When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. I think we'll stop there. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. Oh, fire is kindled, right? What a big deal. What's the big deal? Somebody had kindled the fire. No, it has to be constantly burning. And for that, you need to put sticks. And what did Paul do? He went and gathered sticks. Gathered a bundle of sticks. That is our responsibility, to be able to go gather people. Sticks are a representation of people in this particular story, if you want to see. And go gather them. You bundle them. What does bundling mean? Tying them together or bringing them together? Bundling them. What does it say in your translation? Verse 3. Please read it in your language. 28:3. What does it say? Lakdiyon ka jata jama karke. Gathered a bundle of sticks. You know the story of... Yes. Unity is essential. We need to bundle together. Oh, one stick cannot say, I cannot touch this stick anymore. No, I don't want to touch this stick. No. Sticks have to come together. You need to gather the sticks. Maybe the sticks are scattered across. Time for fellowship. Time for fellowship. Don't be a loner. Come. Come together, gather the sticks. What did Paul do? He gathers the sticks and bundled them and laid them on the fire. Because it was so cold, you need dry sticks. Maybe you're going through dryness in your life. God wants to use you and produce fire. the warmth for somebody else probably, or for yourself as well. Fellowship is so essential. Don't neglect fellowship, my dear, as some are in the habit of doing, it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Do not neglect fellowship. Do not neglect assembling of one another. Why? Because we need to gather together and bundle ourselves. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love that cannot be, cords of love that cannot be broken. God wants you to bundle together. Your unity is essential in fellowship. Charity, receptivity, and as you keep receiving people, don't just try to create any small groups and say, oh, that person is doing that way. Oh, is that the case? Let us talk. Let's do backbiting. No, fellowship is not for backbiting or groupisms here. Fellowship is, another word for fellowship is unity. Unity among all the people. Whether it is individual ministries or the leadership or anyone for that matter, unity is essential. We need to gather together. Don't say that I'm united but not gathered together. You need to gather together. You need to bundle up yourselves and lay yourself on the fire and say, I'm ready to be able to go through whatever sacrifice it is for the sake of somebody else. Don't just be a loner going away. A minister was concerned about the absence of a man who had normally attended services. After a few weeks, he decided to visit him. When the pastor arrived at the man's home, he found him all alone, sitting in front of a fireplace. The minister pulled up a chair and sat next to him, but after his initial greeting, he said nothing more. The two sat in silence for a few minutes, while the minister stared at the flames in the fireplace. Then he took the tongs and carefully picked up one of the burning ember from the flame and placed it on the hearth. He sat back in his chair, still silent. His host watched in quiet reflection as the ember flickered and faded. Before long, it was cold and dead. All those coals and the sticks were all together. He took one, put it aside. It was burning for some time. After that, it became cold and dead. The minister glanced at his watch and he said he had to leave. But first, he picked up that cold stick and placed it back into the fire. Immediately, it began to glow again with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the minister rose to leave, his host stood with him and shook his hand. Then with a smile on his face, he said, thanks for the sermon, Pastor. I'll see you in church on Sunday. He did not focus on fellowship. He thought, there are some problems. I don't want to go to church. Easy to say that, my dear. What are you going to get? You don't do that when you go to office. There are many things that we can learn in your family. There will be a lot of problems. What do? You just leave the family and go? No. You want to stay and see how you can work things out together. Unity, gathering and bundling. And what happened in Acts chapter 28? While you go through so much, as he put the sticks on the fire, what happened? Please read. In verse 3, it says, let me read it, a viper, or in other words, a snake, it says in some of the translations, came out because of the heat and fastened itself to his hand. Paul was doing the job of gathering and bundling the sticks and putting on the fire. The moment he put it on the fire, what came out? A snake came out. As long as it is cold, snake doesn't do anything. The moment you are on fire, snake comes out. My dear, difficulties come out. The reality comes out. Snake will be with you all the time as long as you are cold. The moment you are on fire, God lets the things that are not necessary to come out of the fire. Enough! The snake came out and caught itself onto the hand of Paul. And you know the story, and if you don't know, please read through it. People were scared and they said, oh, this guy, he had the snake around his hand. He's going to die. He's a murderer, and many things they were saying. And what did Paul do in verse 5? He shook the creature off into the fire. Now the same snake that came out of the heat was tying around the hand of Paul. He shook the snake off. When we are in fellowship, we have the power to be able to shake the snake off ours. My dear, I tell you, snake or the viper is causing problems in our lives, in our fellowship, or even in your family. All you need to do is, the moment you are in fellowship, you should shake it off. And the moment you shake it off, the same snake that came out of the heat will fall into the fire consumed by the fire. God lets the same fire, the warmth of fellowship, to be able to burn out the things that are not essential or needed in our fellowship. That is the greatness of fellowship, my dear. The fire of fellowship will not only bring us together, bundled together, but remove the unwanted things to be consumed. And the last and the final thing that we can learn today, charity, receptivity, unity, and hospitality without grumbling. Hospitality, Acts chapter 28 and verse 7. It says, now with all the situations that have happened in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to a leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. Some of the translations, it uses the word, showed hospitality to us for 3 days. What does hospitality mean? Some of us sitting here work in a hospitality industry. What does hospitality mean? To be able to give them the necessary warmth, to be able to give them the necessary shelter, give them the necessary food that is needed. Hospitality industry. Hotels or the inns, what do? They are considered hospitality industries. Why? But you know, many of the times they do that, maybe from a business perspective. Unless you pay, they won't let you have the hospitality. But in a fellowship or a church gathering, the hospitality ministry has its role in it. Not only ushers or anybody, but hospitality has a great role in terms of being able to welcome people into your house. Not only welcoming, but giving them something to have. Giving them the food, giving them the shelter, and providing the needs of the people. And that is what is essential for a fellowship. When was the last time you showed hospitality to someone? When was the last time you invited somebody to your house and spent some time with them? Oh, I'm so busy, brother. I have job, I have family, I have to do things. If you are a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, one of the qualities of showing forth your love towards God is your love towards people through hospitality. The Bible talks so much about hospitality. Did you know that? Just the moment you have received somebody into your home and spent some time with them, you will know more about that person than during the fellowship lunchtime that you have. We also want to show hospitality in the church within the same time frame that we have, but in your house as well. Be a man or a woman of hospitality. I know people, when we visit their homes, how wonderfully they show forth the hospitality. It is not saying that you have to, you are forced to. No. Oh, this person has come. I don't know what I should do. That is not what it is. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. What does it say? Let's read verse 8 and 9.
Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint.
It doesn't say if you want to be hospitable, for those who are hospitable, do it without complaint or grumbling. No. This is like a commandment. This is like a commandment. If you are a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, just as you love one another in verse 8, above all, keep fervent in your love. Fervent. Fervent means really burning out in love for one another, because love covers multitude of sins. And as you love the other person, you show forth your love towards other person through hospitality. My dear, I know many of us are doing it. I'm not complaining or anything like that. But continue to do that. And for those who have not been doing it, be a family. Be an open home. Some places they call it an open home. What does open home mean? They can go at any time. They just call and say, I want to come to your house. Sometimes they even knock at the door and say, I want to stay in your house. I have some problem. I want to talk to you. Or to be able to say, you're most welcome. Anytime you can call us. Even in the middle of the night, if you want to come to our house, you can come. That is what being an open home is. Hospitality, my dear. Be hospitable to one another. This is a Christian virtue and the quality of fellowship. That is why we created a ministry called hospitality ministry in the church. Maybe God called you for that. Maybe you never, if you want to learn how to be hospitable, be part of that ministry. Maybe the Lord will teach you many more lessons in your own home, how to be hospitable as well. Very essential to be hospitable towards one another. Hebrews chapter 13. Love and hospitality go together, as we just read in 1 Peter 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2.
Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it.
Yes, love and hospitality. Again, verse 1 and 2. Both fervent in love for one another, love and hospitality. If you want to show forth love, be a hospitable person. And do not neglect to show hospitality to guests. Strangers, it uses a word here. I think in Telugu language it says atidilu. Atidyamu, atidhi. I think they are both related. As you keep showing forth your love to atidhi, it is called atidyam. What is it? To be able to show forth that hospitality towards one another. Wives in the houses, husbands in the houses. Don't try to be complaining. Oh, outwardly, please come. And once you go into the kitchen, why did this person come? No. That is what grumbling is. That is what complaining is. Do not do that. It is unbiblical to do that. Even if you should sacrifice your food, give it to someone who has come. Show forth that kind of love. That is what fellowship is, my dear. There are people in our church as well. They are the last ones to eat the food. They wait for everyone to finish eating. Why? They could eat too. To show forth the love through hospitality. Fellowship is so essential, my dears. Fellowship is very essential. You need to be able to kindle the fire of fellowship and continue to keep burning for the fellowship, saying that, I'm waiting for the fellowship of God's people. Do you have that? Or you want to run away? Worship is over, I want to just leave away. Why? Are you scared of people? No. Just for the Lord's sake. Even if the other person is trying to do things that you don't like, show forth your love. Love covers multitude of sins. And through your love, that person who's trying to make comments on you might change through your love. Be hospitable. Serve food to that person who is causing problems to you. Romans chapter 12, in final. Romans chapter 12, wonderful chapter. Wonderful chapter talking about the various aspects about transformation, renewing your mind in the first few verses, and then talking about the spiritual gifts that are needed. And now in verse 9 onwards, I read it. Please listen to this carefully. From 9 onwards, everything related to fellowship is mentioned here, till the last. From 9 onwards, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. As I read this, please listen to this carefully. May God speak to us to apply these principles right now as we have fellowship with one another. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Praying together also. Verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Do you do that? Bless and do not curse. Don't do backbiting and keep telling others, except for that person, you keep telling everybody else. That's like cursing. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Do you do that? Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Oh, I think this is like that. This person is like that, trying to judge people. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, serve him, food, give food to him. Even though that person is bothering you, say, do you want to have some more food? If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think this particular portion that we read has many practical lessons. These are all practical, no theory here. Everything is practical, my dear. You can apply this in your own home. You can apply this in your church as well. Church is a place where we will learn wonderful truths from God's word. Fellowship fire. That is a purpose why we are not letting you just go away after the church service. We want you to have fellowship with each other. Hospitality, to love one another and be able to be joining with one another as well. May the Lord bless this word.